The planet is heating up. People are restless. And the rich run everything. The revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast over the next hour live on Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the Melbourne Cup edition of Radio Chaser, the race that stops the nation, meaning they've let us on the air slightly earlier than usual today. My name is Dom Knight. Charles Firth is here. Chris Taylor is here. And Andrew Hansen is here as well. We'll take you to the call very soon, along with our other patriotic duty, playing AC/DC. Those things both coming your way here.
It's so exciting. On Triple M. I love Melbourne Cup Day.
And aren't there a lot of beautiful fillies out there today? Oh, well, Chris?
It's just fantastic. Yeah, Flemington's come up a treat. There was a little bit of nervousness earlier because Melbourne, of course, has been drenched in rain. Mm. And look, I was looking forward to the first ever Melbourne Cup in gumboots. They said it can't be done, but look, I've seen some of the horses and they've crying out to wear a different type of shoe.
Yes.
For too long, they've always had these sort of metal horseshoes on, but in wet conditions, surely a galosha is more.
What about snorkel? Why can't they hand out the snorkels 3,200 metre freestyle around Flemington? Because the actual train line to Flemington looks like a swimming pool. It's extraordinary.
Oh, look, I'd be happy to see the entire race held underwater with scuba gear on each of the horses.
Has anyone talked about that? Let's speak to James Cameron or someone. I know he's very excited about anything involving underwater elements.
Yeah.
He could get Bruce McAvaney down there with him inside the submarine to call the race at 30,000 metre below sea level.
You, you'd still be able to hear Bruce McAvaney from the bottom of the Marianas Trench, I reckon.
You absolutely. We should move the race.
At the very least, even if it's just a really, really wet track, as I understand it is at Flemington. I have actually, what do they call it?
It was heavy eight at one point. I think it's dried up a bit since.
Yeah, there's all descriptions of the different level of moisture and wetness of the track. It's bloody wet, apparently, is the official description.
No. That was about 5 minutes ago. Remember, this is Melbourne, Chris.
Oh, so it's actually changed one day.
It's now about 38 degrees and incredibly muggy out.
Now, look, they're going to jump in a matter of seconds. We'll take the call as soon as it happens.
I've always thought, as a precaution, because we don't know what the weather's going to do during the race, would it be a nice precaution just to have the jockeys each armed with an umbrella?
Well, at the very least.
Or the trainer to run alongside them. Now, I know the horses go at quite a clip compared to, you know, but if you got, you know, Usain Bolt's not doing much these days, is he? If he could, run alongside a lot of the horses with an umbrella just to keep them a little bit dry.
The jockeys aren't very big. They wouldn't need a big umbrella, would they?
Right. Yeah, just one of those cocktail umbrellas would suffice, I imagine.
I was sort of thinking more of the horse rather than the jockey.
But I think it's good that the horses are finally taking part in the most important Melbourne Cup tradition, which is getting absolutely soaked. That's what's going on. Look, the horses are milling around behind the barrier. It's going to when I said they're going to jump in seconds, the TV keeps adjusting the time they're going to jump. We're going to bring you the call.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say Dom Knight is no Johnny Tapp. He saw horses vaguely near the stadium and thought, they're going to run.
I thought it was going to happen.
No, it takes
just guessing.
It normally takes about an hour to load them in the gates.
So. There's 24 horses in a row. It's a big job.
Why don't we go round the panel here and get our tips, our predictions. Yep, what do we think's going to happen in the next 3 minutes in the race that stops the nation?
I am tipping Yucatan, and the reason I'm tipping Yucatan is because it's the only horse I can remember.
You got it in the sweep, which I paid for. Here we go.
The last horse is in.
We're going to take you to the Melbourne Cup. It's Radio Chaser with you as a cross counter wins the Melbourne Cup ahead of Marmelo and a Prince of Aaron. Not official yet, though.
What a finish. I mean, Marmelo, the favourite last year, the favourite in 2017. It looked as if she had it right at the end, just getting pipped at the post by the brilliant run across counter, who was paying $12 for a win. It was one of the favoured horses coming into the race today, and it looks like the wet track actually favoured cross counter.
My strategy of betting on about eight horses appears to have actually... I think I had each way on cross. I might finally have won a Melbourne Cup bet. Yeah.
And look, just hats off to Channel 7 for fantastic coverage. The way they chose not to wipe the water off the lens.
The authenticity of it.
I mean, it was like watching sort of a Vaseline-covered horse race.
I thought it was a bit of porn happening. A bit of porn soundtrack could have come in.
I thought it was just suspense because it was like, when is he going to put his hand over the lens?
Why don't the lenses come with windscreen wipers? You know, the automatic ones just flick on.
Of course, we've got our team there. The Radio Chaser team is down at trackside with Flemington. I think we've got an interview now with the winning jockey. Let's go live.
Congratulations on the ride. How does it feel to win the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, mate, it's hard to describe.
Because it's still sinking in?
No, because I had this stupid voice. I can't describe anything without sounding like a chipmunk.
You pretty much got a perfect run right from the gate. Did everything go according to your race plan?
Oh, look, there's always a couple of surprises in big races like this, like at the 1200 mark. I didn't expect ScoMo's bus to suddenly pull up alongside the field. That seemed a bit opportunistic. Got a shock too when I saw Usain Bolt overtake me on the outside. Nice to see he's found a new sport.
And then talk us through that moment when you entered the final straight. What was going through your head?
Well, the first thing that went through my head was annoyance. Annoyance that we had to pause the race briefly so we could acknowledge war veterans. Oh, shit, is that one of the veterans now?
No, I think they've just put down one of the losing horses. Perfectly normal at events like this. I'll let you go celebrate, but look, it must be a dream come true for you to win Australia's most famous horse race.
No, a dream come true would be to have a normal speaking voice. The only thing I've ever won before is a Barry Gibb sound-alike contest.
And I suppose we should just get a quick word from the horse as well. Hey there, Philip, how do you feel? I can see why you two bond so well. He's got a high pitch just like yours.
No, I just gave him some helium before the race. Part of the standard cocktail of drugs we give all the horses. Jesus, did they just shoot another horse?
No, that was ScoMo that time. He's pissed off that no one likes his bus.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. Melbourne Cups has just been run. Cross counter taking it out ahead of Marmello, a Prince of Arran, and Finch in fourth. But look, there's another contest, guys.
Do we know who's come last, or are they still going?
Quite possibly still going with the conditions.
I always like to enter a horse that, you know, doesn't do it in 3 minutes. You know, like a real Eddie the Eagle type, you know.
Just call it Struggler.
You know, like in Guinea-ness, what's that country? Equatorial Guinea must have a horse that they can enter just as a sentimental favourite that takes 5 days to do the race.
There should be, and just an ordinary horse, like a pony, like a kid's
Shetland.
A kid's pony that does fun ride, just to sort of give us a sense of how fast the rest of them are going. But look, the other contest everyone's been watching, even more dramatic for some than the race itself, the contest between the betting agencies to successfully finish the race. Sportsbet was the first to go down. The website was out. Ladbrokes did as well. And then the mighty Tabcorp struggling with third-party payments towards the end.
What, crashed?
Well, the first two were completely inaccessible, so they would have lost a lot of money, one assumes, from the bets that were placed.
Fair enough. Who would have foreseen that some people would be wanting to bet on horses or something today?
On Melbourne Cup Day. It's like they spend all that money on advertising all year, but the one day people actually want to punt, they decide to give their websites a rest.
I think next year, I'm going to run a sweepstakes of which betting sites are going to make it.
You know what it might have been? They were so worn out after all the feverish excitement for the Everest Cup.
Oh, well, that's what we've seen.
I mean, it's almost defamatory to call the Melbourne Cup the race that stops the nation, because the Everest Cup's clearly the race that excites people these days.
Yeah.
I mean, they got at least 5-6 people to the Everest this year.
It's the race that stops
absolutely.
The Opera
House. Well, one per sale of the Opera House tournament.
It was a dramatic day. The Melbourne Cup has never been cancelled in its history, but this is one of the closest that it's ever come. And a lot of spectators were stuck on trains for hours getting out there. A lot of drama. And look, think of the celebrities who struggled to get into the birdcage. I saw footage of them crossing like pallets to actually get in there to try and avoid the water in their fancy get-up. And the birdcage was empty. People weren't drinking champagne. It was like a war zone in there. Think of all the celebrities who didn't get to drink Veuve Clicquot today.
Well, isn't it normally basically reality TV stars, you know, in these
and
marquees?
Warning. And warning.
So, like, if you need to get pallets to get into the marquee, that's kind of like a challenge on Survivor. So if ever there was a Melbourne Cup suited to the clientele that goes to these marquees, it was this year.
Oh, yeah. It's like that show Wipeout, isn't it? Where you've got to sort of walk across the things or you fall into the pool.
Yeah, you know those cattle grids
spectacle.
That they do? It looked literally like a cattle grid where your high heels would have got caught on the way in. So, yeah, not many people are getting pissed today, sadly.
No, but it was nice to see the entrance sort of replicate what the exit of the Melbourne Cup normally looks like, which is trying to wade through all the champagne and vomit.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser on Triple M talking Melbourne Cup. And look, a bit of a sad note for fans of, well, I guess sport in Australia in general. Bruce McAvaney's last Melbourne Cup, although knowing the way Bruce covers sport, he'll still be talking about it at Flemington when they run the 2019 Melbourne Cup. So he's not going anywhere, I predict.
Why is he hanging up the silks, as it were?
He's getting a bit older. He's still doing I think he's doing the cricket coming up in the 2020 Olympics, so he's still in the mix.
Because Channel 10's got the rights to Melbourne Cup from next year.
Maybe. Oh. Or maybe he just figured this is not for him. He's like, yeah, I've tried my hand at this commentating thing. I don't think it's my cup of tea.
I think his secret is that he actually doesn't like sport at all.
Well, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Or he likes it so much he's just sick of talking about it. He wants to kind of finally play some.
Yeah. So next, watch the game in the AFL.
Or next year he'll try to get a mount. Well, bring Marmello back for one last try.
Well, I hear he's in the running for the Australian cricket team because he can't play.
Now, look, it's been a very good day for me at the Cup. You might note that yesterday I launched my own betting agency, betting on, I guess, the most important aspect of the day, whether any horses die during the Cup. So far, I think they're all alive, which means a very big clean-up for me. This is the ad we played yesterday, launching this amazing new service.
This Melbourne Cup, place a bet on something way more important than which horse finishes first. Bet on how many end up dead. Forget the starter's pistol. It's all about the vet's shotty. Because when they put up the green curtains, you could be a big winner, unlike the horse.
And they're entering the final straight, and oh no, the favourite appears to have broken his leg. Clover Rainbow will be the first horse put down today at Flemington. Great news for some punters.
Choose the first to finish breathing, or pick multiple horses for our exclusive Diefecta. When the Melbourne Cup turns to Melbourne Carnage, only one bookie lets you bet on which nags will take out the dog food sweepstakes. It's not Tom Waterhouse, it's Dom Slaughterhouse.
Radio Chaser, yeah. Triple M.
Melbourne Cup Day on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Radio Chaser with you and the Grill Team's Emma Friedman, our wonderful colleague who is herself horse racing royalty. She's been at Flemington all day. Hey, Emma.
Hello, legends. I've just actually jumped in the car after Flemington and it was speaking to me as I change out of my outfit.
There you go. How was it out there? Did you ever think that the Cup was actually going to be cancelled?
You know what? In terms of that rain that set in early on in the day, I got caught in that and was in the car for 2 hours trying to get from the studio to Flemington. And, you know, there was a risk that they would be postponing races until the track had drained and that surface water had kind of let off a bit. But I don't think, unless there's, you know, we get 100 mils in a day and there's a thunderstorm and there's lightning everywhere, they're ever going to want to cancel the Melbourne Cup. I think they'd try and run it regardless. Of course, safety is paramount, but the conditions, as you would have just seen on your, you know, TV screens, they were safe for racing this afternoon. So all's well that ends well.
Who is the rain more inconvenient for, the horses or the punters?
Definitely the punters.
Yeah. How did you cope? I mean, did you get soaked? Did your outfit get ruined?
I was lucky I didn't get soaked, but as I said, I was in the car for 2 hours.
Have you spent the whole day in the car? Have you seen the track at all? Have you just spent the whole day in the car?
No, I was there for about 3 hours in the end, which was nice. And then right on the rails, we could see all the action very easily. And, you know, it was a great day. And, like, you know, a really nice addition of the Cup in the end, an international getting the job done, which is probably, you know, lays claim to that idea that we should limit the amount of internationals competing in the Melbourne Cup, maybe, because they're finished first, second, and third.
Taking Australian horses' jobs, Emma.
Yeah, but it's sort of a good news story that Godolphin finally broke their cup drought.
Well, I guess.
No, or not.
Hey, Chris has a fact here, Emma. Come on.
Who's Godolphin? I thought Godolphin was a character in Lord of the Rings.
Godolphin was something that swam.
Well, they are the biggest racing operation in the world. But, you know, I guess the good news story out of the Cup winners for Australians is Kieran McAvoy, who, you know, has won a Cup on Brew before, has done it again. So wins another one, adds that to the mantelpiece. So an Australian jockey, at least. There's a bit of an Aussie flavour there.
Yeah, very nice.
Now, look, we've been here at Radio Chaser very upset that there's no pre-race entertainment like you get at the footy. Like, whether you bring out Meatloaf or Kiss, just right outside the gates before they jump, can you see anything like that happening? Maybe even train one of the horses to sing the national anthem? Why haven't we got anything like that going?
I thought they had Sam Smith there,
You're being very rude to Sam Smith, Chris Traylor. Oh, he came down to do the gig.
But Sam's no horse.
He's no meatloaf. No.
Can't we train a barbershop quartet of horses to belt out an anthem?
I think
horses can run, but they definitely can't sing.
Have you tried the Friedman family? You had a crack at it? I think you should.
You can't teach old dogs new tricks, but maybe you can teach old horses new tricks.
All right, Emma.
Different to a different species.
I hope the traffic's less bad getting out of there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Emma Friedman from the Grill Team. Of course, catch you tomorrow morning on Triple M.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Time for another edition of our Melbourne Cup Horsey Quiz.
Melbourne Cup winner!
Or
death metal band.
It's not really a cup day unless you play another round of Melbourne Cup winner or death metal band. The rules are very easy. I'm going to read out a series of names. All you have to do is tell me, is that the name of a horse that's won the Melbourne Cup, or is it the name of a death metal band? Charles Fur, your name is
yes.
Spearfelt.
Ooh.
Sounds pretty gothic.
Brilliant. Great name for anything.
Spearfelt.
I think that is that's a horse race. That's a Melbourne Cup winner.
Yes,
I got it.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
The 1926 winner, Spearfelt, took it out.
Names were better back then.
Okay, Dom, your name. Cardinal Sin.
Wasn't there an actual Cardinal Sin in the church in the Philippines or something?
Yeah,
Cardinal
there
Jamie
was.
Sin. Anyway, I reckon Melbourne Cup. Winner.
Ooh.
Oh, death metal band.
Cardinal Sin is an extreme Swedish metal band from the 90s, best known for their four-track EP, Spiteful Intents.
Oh, I know it well. Right. Was the actual Cardinal Sin from the church the lead singer of the band?
A little other fun fact about Cardinal Sin, they only ever wrote four songs, and they played those same four songs for the 12 years that they were together.
12 years?
Their concert was just four songs.
That's a Cardinal Sin as death metal band.
All right, Andrew.
Nice short concert.
Andrew, Disillusion.
That's a good one. Disillusion.
A Melbourne Cup winning horse or a death metal band?
Oh, it'd be a depressing name for a racehorse. Racehorses don't normally have names like Disappointment and Catastrophe great Big Shame. No, I'm going to go death metal band.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. It's a German progressive metal band who've never been able to secure a permanent bass player and who've been forced to play concerts with a bass guitar backing track after early attempts to play songs live with no bass left fans furious.
I might audition.
Yeah, Tom, you play bass.
I play bass.
Here's the role for you in Disillusion. All right, back to you, Charles. Artilleryman.
Artilleryman would be a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Fire today, Charles.
You're very confident with that.
Yeah, thank you.
1919 winner. Mm. Dom, the victory.
The victory. That's a little bit boastful, but there's a Melbourne victory. It's the Melbourne Cup. Maybe they're a bit arrogant, Dan. So I'm going to go Melbourne Cup winner.
And you'd be absolutely correct.
Ooh. You wouldn't have wanted to lose, would it?
The victory won in 1902 by some margin, apparently. And finally, our final name in Melbourne Cup Horse Winner or Death Metal Band. Over to you, Andrew. The name is Bolt Thrower.
Bolt Thrower?
Bolt Thrower.
Bolt Thrower. Look, I'm going to go. It's Bolt. It sort of sounds like a running sort of word. They might be playing a little bit. I'm going to go with a horse for this one. Is this a horse?
Oh, I'm afraid not. Bolt Throwers are a British death metal band formed in the mid-80s and known to regularly tour with label mates Napalm Death, Carcass and Rotting Christ.
Isn't it also what Channel 10 did to Andrew Bolt's show?
Yeah. All right, that has been another edition of
Melbourne Cup Winner!
Or
Death Metal Band.
Now, look, a bit of unfortunate news, in fact, from the Melbourne Cup from Flemington.
Just breaking.
And our race reporter, Charles Firth, is on the scene to tell us what's actually happening in Flemington. Hey, Charles.
Oh, hi, Dom.
What's
up? Very sad news out here. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has suffered a massive fall in the polls right here in front of everyone.
Mm. Oh, dear. Well,
That's very distressing.
Look, I mean, I'm concerned. That's distressing. Will he be able to get up again, do you think?
No. Once you fall in the news polls, it's very hard to get back up again. I'm afraid the Stuarts have made the decision to euthanise him on the track at Flemington.
That's no good at all. Well, is that going to delay the next race?
No. They're bringing out the green curtains right now. The Liberal Party really are experts at it these days. It shouldn't take more than a few minutes.
A lot of people there, of course, watching the scene. How are the punters reacting to goings on?
Look, people are very upset all around the grounds. He was a good little earner for a while there, especially for the coal industry. But, you know, once you start hobbling in the news polls, it's more humane to just end it quickly, really.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be the kind thing to do. I mean, any word on what will happen to the Prime Minister's body?
Well, he'll have the traditional send-off. There are plenty of drunk punters who could murder a meat pie right now, so let's just say he won't go to waste.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Political news, Andrew.
Yeah, look, old Scott Morrison, that Prime Minister of ours, he's been out and about on this bus, and people can't get enough of this bus, can they? We're all so excited to see his face on this famous bus. And, you know, it's always turning up here, there, and everywhere with Scott Morrison.
Well, isn't it a total copy from Bill Shorten? Didn't Bill Shorten have the Bill bus?
He did.
Look, they've all got a bus, Charles. They've all got a bus.
Everyone's had a bus.
Oh,
but
right.
This bus is a little
London
different.
Once. London had a bus.
Is it a constitutional thing? You have
yeah, you've got to have a bus. Yes, you've got to have a bus. Now, look, let's be honest. It's not the world's most liked campaign bus. But he's got a brand new ad to try and rectify that situation and make the best of it.
Hey, Australia. Scott Morrison's campaign bus is on the road right now. And the best news of all, Scott Morrison is not on board. There's never been a better chance to avoid meeting Scott Morrison. No brandishing lumps of coal, no daggy phone videos, and no shoehorning the phrase fair dinkum into every sentence.
I can't wait to not meet Scott Morrison.
Check the website for all the locations Scott Morrison will not be appearing at, and rush to meet the Not Morrison campaign bus.
Who am I voting for? Not Morrison.
Not written and authorised by Scott Morrison, because thankfully he's not here.
Radio Chaser, yeah. Triple M.
Guys, the 2018 Melbourne Cup, done and dusted, of course, but the piss-up only just beginning. Any tips to the form of what we're going to see around the pubs of Sydney tonight?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I always have a theory that from Melbourne Cup Day onwards, Australia pretty much takes the rest of the year off. It's the signal of the silly season.
Yeah, till Australia Day, that's it.
People, basically from Melbourne Cup to Australia Day,
tune out.
Australia down tools. So pretty much the minute those horses stop running, the elbows start bending, the lager starts going down the larynx, and Australia it declares its real self.
But just remember, just like the Melbourne Cup, you've got to be a stayer. It's not a sprint. You've got to just keep going. You know, you've got months to go.
You do.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.